Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Potke. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use the code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20 for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's new episode that features Haley Dulcini from Fresno State, formerly Fresno State, now a Texas Longhorn, and just can't wait to get into it. Rhi, how are you doing?
Doing good, all the sports, aside from even fall ball, softball, but you got like baseball playoffs, NBA starting, college football, NFL. It's awesome. I mean, it's just a wealth of stuff to talk about in softball too, being even just the fall. Usually there's nothing, but we had some big news this week. So that's fun, because usually it's kind of just a drip during the fall.
Yeah. We were so lucky to be able to actually have the big news on the podcast this week in Haley Dulcini. She finally announced, I believe it was Sunday evening, that she will be heading to Austin to become a Texas Longhorn in January. Rhi, when the news was announced, what were your immediate thoughts?
Well, it's kind of been, leaning that way. I kind of had an inkling that might be the case. But, exactly what Texas needs, obviously, losing Ellis, and losing some pitchers. And they really last year kind of they need an extra arm. They need a big ace, another ace in the circle. So it's perfect fit for her. She'll have opportunities to pitch. She's going to work with one of the best pitching, coaches in the nation and under Mike White. And so I think it's a great fit. And it was funny because I texted her a few days before and I said, hey, you want to come on the pod? Let us know like how your product. She's like, actually, I'll be announcing it Sunday. I'm like, well, perfect timing. So, and she seems very excited about it. So I think it's great for both sides. I think it's a really good fit for everyone.
Yeah. So in Texas, they've got Courtney Day. Now Haley Dulcini, Estelle Check, Shea O'Leary, and Logan Hulon. So, and some freshmen coming in. So Mike White's going to be reloading over there at Texas. So big news of the week, and we'll get into Haley's interview later on in the podcast. We've also got some fall reports on the website and fall games. Oklahoma State this past weekend beat LSU 8-0. Now it was a scrimmage. We had Day Maxwell through some innings, and then Cheyenne Factor had a 3-run bomb. So the Cowgirls are hitting and they're throwing the ball. It is early. So that's happening all across the country. We've seen some big Power Fives play one another, and it's great to see those matchups.
Yeah, I'm really loving it. I mean, last year we didn't have any because of the COVID. We had just inter-squad. But even before then, I think there's been an increase in like big teams playing big teams. It used to just be you played like directional state down the street or a JC and nothing against that. But there was more of those. But I'm seeing, people driving 2 hours to play another Power Five. And I think that's great. I think it's great for the sport. I mean, we're seeing sellouts at Oklahoma, like for a spring, for a fall game. You're seeing sellouts in which, that never used to happen, and some great, great things for the sport. So the more that can happen, I think that's better for the sport. And it's better to test your team too. You want to know, granted, it's a lot of it situational. It's not always a straight game, but I think, man, you gotta test yourself early against that. And that's a good, I love it. I think it's good all the way around. I hope it continues.
Nothing better than some good old healthy competition. And in terms of conferences, it's not just about the Power Fives. We talked about this a little bit offline before we got on the podcast. There's been some new conference alignments or bids, some more that just kind of came up. Rhi, what are you seeing with the American and Conference USA?
Yeah, some projected. They're submitting applications. Obviously the American Athletic Conference kind of got fleeced a little bit by the Big 12 after the Big 12 got fleeced by the SEC. So it's all these dominoes that fall. So this week it's been reported, sources, and it's a lot of sources at this point, but that 6 schools are expected to send applications to the American Athletic, and it's FAU, Charlotte, North Texas, UTSA, Rice, and UAB. So there could be some potential shiftings. The AAC could be quote unquote reloading with those teams. Again, obviously all of it is always centered around football, but the softball programs are impacted in every other sport too. So it'll be interesting to see. I think a lot of those are going to be, they'll be accepted. That's the expectation. So we can, when it is official, we can kind of delve into how that, you know, might impact, whether it be, you know, different, how they structure the schedule and everything. But, you know, I didn't expect the AAC to sit tight. I knew they would make some moves to kind of get some other people into the fold. So yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it'll bring in some interesting new rivalries. And we'll see what, you know, in response then what Conference USA does. So the rating may continue for a little bit until everything kind of settles down.
So that's it on the conference front. And on the website, we've got fall reports up. We've got South Dakota State, Auburn, Georgia, Houston. We keep rolling them out. There'll be a new fall report every day. Loads of content on the site for everyone to kind of scour through and get an idea of what's happening this fall. Bree, you've done a few this week. What stood out to you in terms of speaking to a couple head coaches that you spoke to this week?
Yeah, it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. Some of the stuff I'm like, wow, I forgot, or like, oh, this person's ad. Like, there's a few, and I'm not going to spill the beans. But yesterday I spoke to a program where I'm like, watch out for this program. Like, this is going to be like, I think they're kind of a, you know, not a sleeper. They did well last year, but I think people still are kind of not paying as much attention. So, but the ones that have been on the site, so you got to check back to tease that. But spoke to, you know, Georgia with the new Tony Baldwin taking over for Lou Harris Champer there. And just really, you know, he's obviously great. You know, he's embracing it. It's not like an intimidation thing because he's worked on her staff for so long. But it's interesting to see with Chelsea Wilkinson, the pitching coach, that's the area they really need to kind of find someone because Mary Wilson Avant's no longer there. So pitching and defense for them is going to be what they determine will get them back to the Women's College World Series or not. They really need to shore up some of that and find some, you know, pieces that can get into place in those two areas. Offensively, you know, Georgia's always good and always fast and everything. So I think they'll be good there. But just a lot of, you know, it's a lot, it's change, but without a lot of change, you know. So enjoy talking to him. I'd suggest reading the whole report because there's a lot of good info on who they, you know, have coming in and some of the new roles people are taking. He's always a fun one to talk to. Tony's great. And you know, his terms of him getting used to dealing with the media as a head coach, it's not a problem because he was basically, Lou's like, you can talk to the media all the time when he was an assistant. So that was an easy transition for him in that sense.
Yeah. And they've got a new defensive coach. You talk about it in the report and on how they need to shore up on the defensive front. And I think JT D'Amico from Washington is going to help out. He's coached a few defensive All-Americans while at Washington. So that'll be good to watch over there down with the Georgia Bulldogs. And so that's it with the fall reports. Check them out on d1softball.com. And we're going to get into our interview for the week. Super excited. Ree, who do we have?
Well, we've obviously rolled it out big time. We've got Haley Dolcini herself, fresh off her announcement of heading over to Texas to bolster that staff. So everyone I know has been waiting for that and probably not wanting to listen to us talk because they want to hear Haley talk. So she's going to let us know what went into her decision and what she's expecting and what she'll be doing before she arrives in Austin in January. And we are now pleased to be joined on the podcast by Haley Dolcini, the former Fresno State ace, just announced this week big news that she will be transferring to play for Texas in January. Dolcini was 22-5 last season with a 1.12 ERA, 259 strikeouts and only 34 walks and 180.2 innings pitched. Those numbers are crazy, but that's not surprising. Haley, we've had you on the podcast before, but obviously with this big news that you announced, we had to have you back. So thank you so much for joining the D1 Softball podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So yeah, let's not beat around the bush. You know, the big news, you're heading to Texas. Give us some insight on why you chose to become a Longhorn and join that program for January.
Yeah, I mean, the transfer process was insane, especially at this time of the year and not expecting to be going through this process. But, you know, after the phone conversation with Coach White and his staff, it just seemed like the perfect fit. And, you know, the team camaraderie they've worked to build over there, as well as the bullpen staff they've got, will complement each other really well. And then just to learn from Coach White and pitch under him is, I think, a dream for any pitcher. To play for one of the best pitching coaches, personally, I think, ever. So I'm just really ecstatic to learn from him and see, you know, what kind of barriers I can break as a pitcher in this short amount of time under him, as well as go compete for a national championship.
When did you, you know, make the decision that you, I know with Fresno State, there was obviously coaching changes and issues there, but when did you really make the decision that you wanted to go somewhere else for your final season?
I would say probably a few days just before entering the transfer portal. I had called some people that have really mentored me in this sport and some past coaches and whatnot, and, you know, used them as a soundboard, and just ultimately decided this was the last, you know, the last go around. And our professional leagues are growing in this sport, but I mean, everybody knows it's not, I'm not going to sign a $1 million deal with a Major League Baseball team after this. So I want to treat this kind of as that professional ending for me. So just ultimately had to make a tough decision on what was best for me. And this was it.
And Haley, I actually was able to watch you, I think it was 2 years ago, against Texas, against Mike White at Cal State Fullerton. You beat the Longhorns that day, and it was an incredible performance. I remember sitting in the stands watching it. Have you guys talked about that at all, or what was it like to play Texas? I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was actually during the COVID year in 2020.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy week for us as a team in general, because, I mean, I'm sure everyone kind of remembers Kelsey Carrasco's dad had passed away 2 days before that. And so we didn't have her, who she was my other half out there. You know, she did the thinking for me most of the time. So we didn't have her out there, and then we didn't have her dad with us. And so we were just like, why not? We're going to play for him and play for her. And it was an emotional game after we won. And I just remember just tears. but no, ultimately that game, it was kind of that test of grit and seeing what we could do as a program. And it was truly that win where we were like, okay, like we can take on and compete with anyone. So I think that was a huge turning point for our program.
Now, Haley, you said that, you know, the transfer portal process, and we hear about it a lot, but we really don't get people to kind of take us through, like, what exactly, because you said it was stressful, it was hectic. Can you kind of walk us through some of those? Because there's a lot of kids out there that are probably listening that maybe are thinking the same and don't know what to expect when they enter that portal. They think they know. Can you take us through kind of with, you know, as much as you can on how that was for you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had quite the journey in where I've transferred without the portal and now experienced with the portal. So I'd say it was crazy because you request to do it, and then, you know, you get an email as soon as it's done. But as soon as that email got my phone, it was like phone call, phone call, phone call. And like your information's out there, and then it's like your email's blowing up and you're like overwhelmed. But no, it was just doing a lot of research and, okay, this is your last season. You're not going to be able to go somewhere and make a long-standing impact. It's more of like, what can you do in the 6 months you're going to get with the team to help them get to accomplish their goals and yours as well. So it was a lot of research, talking with my dad, like, hey, look up this, research that. But no, I mean, it was fun too, because it was kind of a sense of seeing all the hard work over the years pay off, with schools reaching out to me that as a younger girl, I never thought I would have had the chance to play for.
Yeah, that's got to be nice when it's almost like you're, you know, if you didn't get that chance as a highly sought after prospect out of high school, because you started at UC Riverside and then transferred to the state, you kind of get it to get that chance because you deserved it. You earned it with all the, you know, obviously the numbers you put up. What will you be doing in the interim between now and January when you get to Austin and get on campus? What is kind of your, whether it be school or pitching, what are you doing between then?
Yeah, so right now I still have 2 in-person classes here in Fresno. And then I have Coach Jody Cox, who was with us last year. She's still in Fresno, so she's running my bullpens for me. And, you know, that's really awesome because, you know, she's one of my favorite people I've gotten to work with. So the fact that this has come full circle to where she's now training me for this is awesome. And then the gym I've trained at in the past 2 off seasons here in Fresno, I'm back there with him and my trainer there. So I'm going there 3 times a week. And then I've hooked up with a local high school senior catcher who's offered to catch any and all bullpens. So it's been fun.
That's great. Good experience for that catcher too, man. If I was a high school catcher, I'd be submitting my resume to catch. Well, I don't know. It might hurt. I might not be able
to do it. He's great. She's great.
Now we have now this new era, like you said, your last season with NIL, name, image, likeness legislation passing, and you're going to a bigger stage, a bigger place where it has more resources like that. How have the NIL opportunities come for you, or how are you approaching that process, being that you, like you said, you know, softball players only get, you know, this platform for a select window of time?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm very on the middle of the NIL, where it's like, if a deal comes to me and it's like, I just open an email and it's like, okay, if you want to do this, we'll send you product. You just post about it. Like, I'm doing Liquid IV. I've already used that before I was even with them. So I was like, oh, easy. But I'm not outwardly searching, just because, you know, it can be a little distracting for some people. And so for me, I'm like, okay, last season, like, everything's pouring into accomplishing those dreams. And so not outwardly searching for those deals, but I think it's an awesome opportunity for college athletics right now. And it'll be interesting to see after this first year with it, how it kind of grows.
Yeah, you'll definitely be on a bigger platform in Texas too. Everything's bigger down there, and including the deals. So if you start pitching well, you know, they'll come rolling to you. You won't have to.
Yeah, you never know.
But you know, you may do a deal. I know you come from Ferndale in Humboldt County, California. So you're a big supporter of farming. I know we have that in common, because yes. I have farms. How does that play in your life? I mean, how much is agriculture, farming background? Because I know, you know, it's an essential part. We talked before when you're on the podcast kind of about that.
Oh yeah. So my dad, we've always had a dairy. So our family owns a dairy of 500 organic Jersey heifers. So I think just growing up in that environment and seeing my dad and kind of that blue collar work ethic, I think that's played a huge role in what I see out of my dad every day and the sacrifices that he's made for my journey in softball, but also just to see how to run a successful business and kind of take that and, you know, associate, you work hard, good things happen. And yeah, I think it's been incredible to grow up like that. And I think that it's an experience a lot of people don't get to have, and I'm very thankful for it.
See, now you need to be like the Got Milk girl. I mean, this is such a natural progression here, in my opinion. Like, we need that sponsorship to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Haley, can you actually explain to our listeners what a Jersey heifer is, for those that don't know what a Jersey heifer is?
Yes. So for the just regular people that might not have seen cows growing up, it's the brown cows. They don't make chocolate milk. They make just regular milk. That's the question I get all the time.
How many cows have you milked in your life, Haley?
Oh, zero.
None. Oh, wow. I used to have to milk cows even but we only had like two cows on the farm that my grandma grew up on. So I'm sure you have a production there, right? It's like a big.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to have to help move pipes, and then I quit that job.
Like, I'll stick to softball.
Yeah.
That is, honestly, farm work is so much harder than any conditioning drill you ever do in your life. Like, that's not a lie. I want to take you back to in high school. I remember this about you, because I remember reading this about you when you, I think you were a junior in high school, which shows you how long, you know, I've obsessively covered softball. But I remember you starting like a K's for Kids, like cancer strikeout fundraiser.
Yeah.
How did that, I mean, and I know it's, you know, I remember reading at the time that you wanted to dedicate all your strikeout totals and raise money for cancer. How did you come up with that, and kind of have you explored anything similar to that since then? I mean, you're charitable. I know you're very big about giving back, but how did that come about, and is there anything in the future for that too, where you might revisit that?
Yeah, so there was two local girls who had played softball, and they'd been diagnosed with cancer. And so they kind of had to step away from it. And so it was kind of just some bouncing ideas off of my family and whatnot, and my high school coach at the time, and ultimately decided, okay, we'll come up with K's for Kids Cancer. And then a local boy, his mom works with my aunt. And so I asked her, you know, what's the best organization that I can partner with? Because, you know, some take a percentage. So we ended up choosing Cookies for Kids Cancer, because it's 100% nonprofit, and ultimately went around to different businesses and just posted through Facebook and different people that if they wanted to pledge, like some businesses were like, we'll do $10 a strikeout. And then at the end of the season, say I had like 300 something strikeouts, they would then send that check to make it out to Cookies for Kids Cancer. And we collected it all. And I think we raised about $10,000. We had a kids cancer game for our high school. Our coach, he has been super supportive. So, and then all the proceeds from the ticket sales then went as well. But being from a very small community, there's just an out like huge amount of support. So everybody was donating, everybody was buying t-shirts. So that was definitely one of the things I think I'm most proud of in my career.
That is awesome. And I bet some of the businesses are like, wait, how many did you strike out? Like, they didn't know softball very well. And they're like, wait, no, like 300, 400. What? That's like a lot of money now.
Yeah.
A good thing. But I'm like, they're thinking maybe two a game, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it was
like,
awesome.
I'm up to like 16 guys. So like, let's well, that is awesome. I wanted to highlight that. Some people, you know, maybe only knew you in college, didn't know that story. So really wanted to bring some attention to that. And lastly, I'll end with it. I know that, you know, we see with, you know, Athletes Unlimited and now this new pro league that's being announced and different opportunities. How, what is your, you know, in terms of life after college with softball, are you going to explore some of those opportunities, or what are you thinking your future is after you graduate from Texas?
Yeah, I'm currently thinking of potentially pursuing some sort of softball after college, whether that be Team Forli in Italy or potentially the Athletes Unlimited or whatnot, just kind of seeing where I'm at in June. But yeah, the plan is to actually hopefully GA after my time at Texas. So might get into the whole pitching coach gig in college, but yeah, I definitely change my mind every week. So it's up in the air.
Hey man, it's good to have possibilities and opportunities, right? That's awesome. So, and hopefully that league will be around so kids can be more, you know, like they'll have that choice.
Absolutely.
Well, Haley, this is great. We know, I know your schedule is really busy. We, you know, you have still have class and everything, and I'm sure the move, you're probably already planning for how that's going to go about to get over to Austin. And have you been able to visit yet? Have you even been on campus yet?
Yeah, I just got back from my official visit.
Sweet. How was it? The facilities are really nice.
Beautiful. Beautiful. No, I loved it there, and the girls are great. The staff's amazing. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, this has been awesome. We appreciate it. You're always, you know, you're regular now, so we expect to have you back. We're gonna call you up once you start pitching, so we can see how it's going. And then, you know, once you, whatever comes for you, it's always enlightening to speak with you. So thank you so much for coming back to the D1 Softball Podcast, and good luck once you get there in January. We'll be definitely watching and paying attention.
Yeah, thank you so much again for having me on.
Haley Dolcini. What a gem. Love speaking with her. She's been on the pod before. And, you know, honestly, I didn't really know what a Jersey heifer was. So I'm really excited that she explained that for us.
We've had a lot of cows featured on this site. I remember the Oklahoma State story. We do a lot of heifer reporting on this site. And if you didn't know they didn't make chocolate milk, now you know. Because, I mean, there's probably some that honestly didn't know that. So we educate. If you need heifer education, you come to D1 softball, because that's our bread and butter, you know, like no pun intended with the butter there in the mouth. Yeah, she's great. She's honestly just really refreshing to talk to. And it was great to kind of get her, you know, her insight into that whole process, like, you know, because a lot of kids and a lot of people are going through it. So it was good to kind of get her standpoint of it. And I'm excited to see how that works out at Texas.
So that's Haley Dolcini, the new Texas Longhorn. Head on over to d1softball.com. We've got loads of content on the site, got fall reports. And also, if you are a current Division I softball player, make sure that you apply for the D1 Players Society. We'll have players from both baseball and softball sharing content on the website. We'll have a dedicated part of the website for baseball and softball players. But please head on over to the site, d1softball.com, and We'll post it in the links, the show notes, so that you can actually have the link to the D1 Player Society application. Applications are due by October 31st. So head on over there and take a look. So that's it. Episode 3 of the D1 Softball Podcast.
Season 2, episode 3.
Season 2, episode 3. I can't believe it.
It's awesome. And we're having great. I love it. The guests are just amazing. We're going to have, and we've already got some lined up next week. You are going to want to tune in too. Next week, we have a big guest. lots of fun stuff with that. So that's a tease for that one. So you're going to want to subscribe and rate and review so this can come on your feed automatically with your podcast, because this is a one you're going to want to, if you think talking about heifers was interesting, just wait till next week. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I love it. We got a good guest next week. Stay tuned. That's it for the D1 Softball Podcast. Tara Henry, Rhiannon Podkey. We'll see you all next week.